Good evening, Zimbabwe. This is your youth forum, The Connection, coming live to you from Studio 7 at The Voice of America on Tuesday, December 29th, 2015. I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and tonight on our youth show, we will be focusing on Zimbabwean education from primary to university. We can get talking on our social media platforms. Find us on Facebook at Studio 7 VOA or on Twitter at Studio 7 VOA. That's our Twitter handle there. We can also get things going on our WhatsApp, and that number is 001-202-465-0318. You can also give us a call if you want to join the program live and to contribute, and that number is 001-202-619-2077. Again, that number is 001-202-619-2077, and we will call you right back. And for those of you who want to check us out this evening on the internet, head over to voazimbabwe.com, voandebele.com, or voashona.com to check out our live stream. And again, thanks for joining us this evening. And as we mentioned earlier, we will be focusing on all things education in Zimbabwe, focusing on challenges young people are facing, especially those in the rural areas, but also for those young Zimbabweans who have made it abroad to places like here in Washington, D.C. or the United States, and talking about how their education in Zimbabwe has fared once they took it internationally. Now, as you know, by now, I am flying a little bit solo as my co-host Ntungamili Nkomo is not here, but I am gladly once again joined by two guest hosts who will join me this evening to unpack this topic. So first I'll come over here to Tapiwa Musonza. Thank you so very much for joining me and being here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And over here, I have Piti Ngobo joining me today. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Let's start off with you, Tapiwa. Give us a little bit more information about who you are.
Sure. My name is Tapiwa Msonza. I'm a senior at Howard University here in Washington, D.C., studying finance and economics. I'm in my last semester of school, so I'm just working hard just to finish off strong and learn as much as I can.
Now, full disclosure, I, of course, am a Howard alumni, so I have to say our usual chant to HU.
You know.
We'll explain that another time, Antiti.
No, definitely.
And over here, PT, thank you for joining me. Tell me a bit about yourself.
I'm PT Zara Ngobo, and I always emphasize that I'm a rural boy from Cholocho in Matabeleland North. I'm a high school teacher here in Washington, D.C. I teach math. I graduated from the University of Zimbabwe, Oxford Brookes University in England, and George Washington University in Washington, D.C., the colonials. And as I said, I'm a teacher, and my passion is actually the education of the rural child, more than the urban child.
And when we spoke, BT, you made that very clear, and you were saying you want to, of course, focus on the rural child to make sure that, you know, we highlight their plight and some of the challenges, but also some of the wonderful things that rural children in Zimbabwe have been able to do.
That's true.
Yeah. And last but not least, joining me via Skype, I have James Bayanai, who is currently here in the United States in the state of Louisiana in the city of New Orleans. James, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you? How are you, Tatenda?
Thank you, James. And James, let's talk about your accolades. You are right now doing your Master in Law at Tulane University, and you're also a Mandela Washington Fellowship. Tell us a bit more about yourself.
Yes, I'm a lawyer by profession. I graduated from the University of Zimbabwe. I'm also the founder and director of Zimbabwe Youth Development Foundation Trust. This is a youth-oriented organization that promotes literacy through providing educational materials to rural schools in Zimbabwe and to do other educational activities in Zimbabwe. Here in the United States, I am doing my master's in international law at Tulane University in Louisiana.
Thank you there. And Nasi Tapiwa is here to handle my Shona for me. So Tapiwa, let us know what's happening today.
Definitely. Muchirongwa chedu che Life Talks with The Connection. Tiri kutarisa nyaya dzezvidiki yevechidiki nemikana yanga wane munyaya yedzidzo. Kana muchida kupinda muchirongwa ichi fonerai namba inoti 1202619 2077. Muchitudza namba dzenyu kuti tikufonerei kana munogona kutumirai ma text pa WhatsApp pa namba inoti 1202465 0318. Muchitudza namba dzenyu munogona kutitumira mashoko enyu tinomaverenga ipano pamhepo.
Thank you, Tapiwa. PT.
Namhlanje kuhlelo lwethu sixoxa ngezemfundo yakhulu njengoba senchilo imfundo yemaphandleni. Sulukandaba siyanxusa ukuthi ukhulume uxoxe lathi. Uyenelisa ukuthumela imbiko esithi ngesilingu ngama-message kunombolo ezithi 001-202-465-0318 ukuze silithinte ecingweni elingene ngaso. Thina sizenelisa ukubala imbiko yenu njalo sanelisa ukuthi silifonele. Lilakho njalo ukuthumela inombolo zenu ku-001 202-61-2077. Inombolo njalo ngu-001 202-61-2077. Thina ke sizalifonela ukuze lingene kuhlelo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you there. And let's start off with the UPT you talked about in your intro, the issue of rural students. One of the biggest things that came out this year and has happened, of course, in some previous years is the issue of, school dropouts for young children, in particular in rural areas. We talked to some parents here at Studio 7, where they talked about in Matabeleland North, where parents were saying it's not only the issue of school fees that are making children drop out, but also the issue of hunger, where kids are unable to eat, so then in turn they're not going to school. Can you talk about that and how that's a big impact to rural children?
Definitely. Actually, yesterday I got a call from my village back home. Mm-hmm. Not only is there hunger, there is no water at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. So actually my village, they were saying they were trying to raise about 5,000 to drill a borehole mm-hmm. for the people. So we're realizing that, as you said, it's not only school fees. It's hunger, it's water shortage. And at this point, people are so desperate. They don't know where to turn to. And probably that's when we are going to say, those of us who are in the diaspora, especially those of us who are product of the rural villages, mm-hmm. can't we do something for our own people? We know that as it is, financially, our government is struggling. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people not getting paid. And so it will take us, the products of the system, to at least look back home and say, could we just stay in Washington, D.C., or could we try to do something to alleviate some of the challenges we are facing?
And James, coming to you on that issue, the issue of, rural dropouts, not only obviously in the rural areas and urban areas too, but of course your work is within the rural area. What's your take on that issue?
Yeah, basically, it's not all about school fees that makes children to drop from schools. Basically, it all revolves around availability of resources. And sometimes also the schools will be very, very far away from the students. So as a result, sometimes, from the newly resettled farmers areas, sometimes it's a school, there will be one school and it will be very, very far away from other students, from other kids. As a result, they find it difficult to access that particular school. Sometimes it might be during the rain season. There are no bridges. There are rivers. They can't even access, get access to the school. So it's one of the things that makes it life very, very difficult for a rural child to get access to proper education. Also, availability of resources, like you earlier on said, there are no resources, no food. A child cannot go to school when the stomach is empty. Even if he does, then there will be no concentration at all. As a result, they may opt not to go to school. Also, that the families may prioritize some other things apart from prioritizing education of the child. For example, they may think that it's better off for a child to do some work, to raise some money instead of going to school, so to feed the family, because The student might be the head of the family, but is a kid, is a child, is a head of the family. As a result, he prioritizes doing some other tasks to raise the livelihood of the family instead of going to school. So it revolves around a plethora of issues.
Mm-hmm. And Tapiwa, let me come to you. What's your take on that issue? Young children, being unable to go to school. What's your take?
I agree with my colleagues over here. But kana uchitasa my hierarchy of needs emunu. Kana muna asina chikafu, asina pekugara, asina pekurara, zvese kuti chikoro achive chinhu chiri number one pa priority list yake. And iwo uchipinda mu class une nzara, uchiziva kuti kumba uku uchadzokera une nzara. It doesn't give you the motivation kuti uye nechi. So I think, before tamhanya kuti chikoro vanhu vari ku drop out, I think, they have to first satisfy my needs avo echikafu nepekugara. So if they don't have water or any food, I don't think chikoro chinenge chiri chinhu chiri number one pama needs avo.
Piti, coming back to you, of course we're here in the diaspora, and people are always saying, okay, well, once I make it to somewhere like America, I think things will be okay. You're working with high school level children, but there's a lot of talk about how similar things happened here, where some kids poverty is an issue, where young kids are unable to learn. How is the system in particular for this area when it comes to those particular issues that you're seeing day to day?
Udubo lokuswelakala luyatholakala yonke indawo. America may be rich, but abanye abantu badubeka kuleli lizwe. Abantwana futhi babuya esikolo bengelakudla. But the difference here, one of them, is that there are other supplementary services for abantwana. Sinje thina ababalisi teachers, we can afford to give kids food. Ababalisi, you stock ukudla, dry foods and some drinks. Kodwa ekhaya, a teacher can't do that. Ngoba wonke umuntu kalalutho. So esikuchoyo ukuthi nxa umntwana engelakudla engaze esikolo katholi lutho. So in America it may be different. Umntwana, if you don't have food at home, actually you can get a meal at school. But ekhaya akula kudla everywhere. So ungcono usihlalele ekhaya. Instead of wasting energy usiye esikolo, you'd rather just sleep at home.
Thank you there, PT. And of course, you are listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America. And of course, we are still having a bit of problem with our phone lines, but you can send us your messages on WhatsApp 202-465-0318, and we can read them live on air today, giving us your take on what's going on. Let's see here. We have a message that comes from Matthew Anyora Pa WhatsApp, and he says it appears far ahead than other nations, albeit other things need improvement. Imagine I went to school in the mid-90s. We had no classroom, but we used open space. I think Matthew here is talking about the Zimbabwean education overall. Tapio, let me come to you. You are in university here. Of course, you grew up in Zimbabwe, so you have had that chance to have both sides. What's your take for, a young Zimbabwean who might be here for school, might be here for college? How do you compare the two education systems based off what you experienced at being back home in Zim and being here?
When you look at both education systems, I ndofunga kuti Zimbabwe dzidzo redu rakasimba. Nokuti ma resources hana kuwanda zvavo, but tinokwanisa kubatanidza nekudzidza nesimba. Uchiya kuno vanokupa, they will give you everything that you need to know. Vanogona kuudza kuti right, tikutarisa exam rikuya pakadaiso, and kuZimbabwe tinokudzi atikudzi spoon feed. Unodzidza nesimba rako kuti ubudirire. So I think that strengthens you kuti paunoya kunyika dzakadaiso unokwanisa kuva nesimba kuchikoro. But zvandongofungirawo kuti chikoro also hachito chega chinodiwa kusimbisa. So kumba kunoleka that element, ma social skills also anenge achizodiwa kuti thriving munyika dzakadaiso dzavanokurudzira ma social skills over everything.
Koma issues there, my resources, what's your take on that?
I think, as my fellow colleague said, kuti my resources takamirira vamwana kuti vagadzise nyaya idzika hazvibudiri. Isusu ndisu as a diasporans tine tinogona kubudisa kana $5 every week tichitukwenisa kunogadzisa kunobatsira chikuru chawakabva chaicho. I think that would go further than chingotaura kuti hurumende ngaidai so isusu tisiri kuita anything. It's not fair.
James, let's come to you. What's your take, Papa? I know, James, you've also been raising funds and also furnishing a library back home in Zimbabwe. You know, what's your take on the issue of resources at rural schools?
Yeah, basically, there are no resources in various rural schools. Like if we check, the student book ratio is not so good. Sometimes you find maybe one book per 10, 15 students. Sometimes the student would have to stand in front of the class to read out something to the whole class, meaning that, a whole lot of children would be sharing just like a single book. I did my primary school in Chirumanzu. You know, we never had resources during my time, and even up to now, I do a lot of my work there in Chirumanzu. When you get there, various schools, there are no resources, as in like there are no computers there. You start to use a computer when you get to the University of Zimbabwe or, you know, something like that. And it's not so good, but basically it needs a collective effort, like what my colleague earlier on said, from all various stakeholders in the diaspora and even back home, to put together resources to support all those schools, especially the schools that you have an interest in, like former students. You know, you have an interest at a particular school that you're coming from. That makes it easier. And as such, you can put efforts to support that particular school. So also like comparing the resource thing with the United States of America. Of course, here resources are at the disposal. You know, a lot of resources, but also there are challenges. Also, they have also their own challenges here in the United States. We have our own challenges in as far as resources are concerned. Here, they do have resources, but they have their own challenges also at various schools within the educational system. Also, so yeah.
Thanks there. Pete, if you want to come in there, of course, question of resources. We spoke last time and you were saying, there are ways to still be a bit innovative in light of not having those resources.
Yeah, actually, Taipua said something about Uguti Upumelele, a university, America. And one thing as teachers we always hear in America is extra credit. You have to give students extra credit.
Can you explain extra credit? Because I know Zimbabweans, I don't think they know too much about extra credit. If you can explain what that is.
So basically, extra credit is saying when students don't do certain work or when they do certain work and don't pass, you have to give them extra work to do just to make up whatever they didn't do. But more importantly, for me as a teacher, there is a time when students don't do the original work and then I have to give them extra credit. I'm like, why don't you do the first work that I gave you in the first place? So I sikutshoyo ngesindebele ukuthi lapha eMelika abantwana balapha engafunda umnike umsebenzi engaphumeleli kuyathiwa kumele umnike omunye aze aphumelele. Thina ababalisi besesikhala ukuthi njengoba oqale engawenzanga umsebenzi sizamnika omunye njani. And then I come back to the issue of resources, which people have been talking about. And my first point on the resources is, of course, we cannot compare the resources of America and back home for most instances, except some of the private schools in Zimbabwe. There are private schools in Zimbabwe which have everything and anything and all the computers. But for the general populace, we don't have those resources. And people have been talking, how do we innovate so that we also cover up that loss of resources? And then that comes back to teachers. But unfortunately, most of the time, teachers themselves, they don't have resources or they haven't been paid. You can't expect me to innovate anything before you meet my own basic needs. So our government has to sort just the basic salary of civil servants, and then we can ask them for more. And then when it comes to innovations, now I want to come back. We have teachers from Zimbabwe all over the world. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my teachers are on Facebook. Sometimes I tell them I'm teaching slope intercept today. You know, why it's called MX plus B. And we chat on Facebook. And I'm saying to myself, I can definitely send a teacher resources to teach slope intercept on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If teachers have gone their phones, Konape Studio, Sitabantu, Kaba WhatsApp, mm-hmm. you know, Kaba phone, why can't I WhatsApp a teacher at my school and just give them a worksheet, mm-hmm. take a picture of it and give a worksheet to the teacher, and then they just copy on the board. But I think our government should engage diaspora from various institutions and say, guys, we know you do have some resources. Can you share with us? Whatever means, we are to mail email as an attachment. We don't have to print it. We can just download on our phone.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the phone downloads, you know. But those are the ways that we can innovate help our people back. I do that for my brothers at home and just give them assignment. So, ngesindebele ngichoyo ukuthi oqathele ukuthi uhulumende kasikhuthaze thina abantu abase diaspora ukuthi sisebenze labanye abasekhaya. Sithona sixoxa kubo WhatsApp lapha sithumelana ama messages. Kungakuhle uma sithi sixoxa sibe sithumelana i message ngomsebenzi abantwana bangawenza. Ukuthi ungafundisa abantwana ngalindlela. Ngakwesikhathi indlela esasifundiswa ngayo eZimbabwe. Le ndlela esifundisa ngayo eAmerica kuchiyene. And ukufundisa kweAmerica most of the time is good, save for extra credit, but most of the time really they are good innovative methods of teaching, and we can share those with other teachers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you there, PT. I'm hearing here we have a caller, Kudakwashe Howe. Kudakwashe, I hear that you speak unotaura and you kuluma, so you can tell me what you'd like to use today. Hi, Kudakwashe. Hello.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to make my contribution, and that is most of the issues that are being raised, especially in terms of the education system in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was saying, the education issue that is currently affecting the system is the immigration. Really, you know, the way people are being treated, even with the people themselves, it's not as good as it used to be in Israel. I remember when I was still also a high school teacher, some few years, I think, in 2007, thereabouts, you really see that you are not an inspiration to the people. So that on its own affects learning process, because for the people to concentrate and really learn, first of all, they say, okay, this very person really speaking to me, is he an inspiration to me, who I admire. But you'll be realized also that some of these children, their background, very poor. Some they travel a very long distance to come to school, as much as 10 kilometers. So at the end of the day, their concentration is drastically affected. Now, when you go to the university level, they are no resources. Absolutely no resources. At the end of the day, yes, we can claim that our education system is still at the level when it was in years. But if you look at the resources, we are so much concentrating on theory at the expense of the actual practical issues which these people should know.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, if I am to...
Go ahead.
Okay, if I am actually to make a comparison, I have supported the National University of Science and Technology for about 3 years. Now I've taught for a year at the University of Namibia. We really realize that in terms of our primary up to secondary, our curriculum, which is the MSc, the British curriculum, is very good. We really prepare students. But when they come to university, especially currently, we don't have enough staff. highly qualified professionals. Most of them, they are in the South African universities. And at the end of the day, that is affects drastically the quality of our tertiary education that we are doing. Now, you come to a department, a full-fledged department, which only maybe two PhD holders, yet we expect to produce high quality, we expect to produce high researchers, highly qualified researchers. At the end of it all, you realize that, yes, really, because if you compare the situation, our students at the university, they are actually compelled by the economic situation. They think if they attain a first degree, maybe things will work. After attaining the first degree, they will proceed to a master's. Then they think, now I have a master's, maybe things will work. So they continue to occupy themselves. See, them learning is now a process of occupying themselves against the economic harsh conditions. Rather than actually learning for creativity, learning for knowledge, to know, to be, you know.
Wahoe, if we can just have you hold on the line there, of course, we want to come back to you. But James, if you want to chime in there, you know, the issue that Kudakwashe Hoe is talking about here, the issue of universities, issue of resources, you know, but also what's always the question that I've seen from young Zimbabweans, and they talk about, you know, you learn a lot of theory, but you never get to do hands-on when it comes to what you're doing. I've heard of medical students, you know, learning theory, but they've never had clinics, you know, because there are no resources for that. You know, what's your take on that issue?
Basically, I think we must not expect to have in theory, to have in practical terms whatever we learn. I mean, that theory is also good. It molds you in one way or the other. But basically, what I think is good is for our educational institutions to have as much resources as possible. If it's a medical school, then let it have resources that are fully equipped to handle all the medical issues, you know. And if it's a University of Science and Technology, let it be a university that has all the technology that is needed to prepare the students for the real world. It's a disadvantage, really, to learn a whole lot of theory about whatever, but in practical terms, you don't have the opportunity to experience or to learn through to learn in a practical way whatever you would want to do. As a result, it doesn't work well for the students, and it doesn't prepare them adequately for outside university life, something like that. So basically, our institutions of higher learning, our schools must have adequate resources that equips the students for an after school life.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks
there, James. Just hold on the line. Of course, we're going to our second half, but we have another in-studio guest joining us. That is Cliff Makanda, who is here in the university at Williams College in Boston. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much. Just quickly, about 20 seconds, you know, what's your take on what we've been talking about as someone who's here at university or at college?
I would say everything you've been talking about has been very insightful. You point out to the challenges that people back home face, and the people back home are mostly like saying it's an issue of resources, mm-hmm. the education system. From my take, I think that like the view you're looking at it is okay.
Okay, yeah. Just hold on there, Cliff. And of course, right now, we'd like to say goodbye to our radio listeners. But thank you so much for joining us. And as you know, we are streaming live on the internet. So head over to voazimbabwe.com to catch the rest of the show. Cliff will be joining us. PT and Tapiwa are still here. Thanks so much and stay tuned.